From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, a delight to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. First up today is Stephen. He's listening in Independence, Missouri. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Hank. Yeah, I have a quick question. I was discussing with my neighbor the origin of the races, and he believes that the separation of the races and all became after Noah landed the ark and his sons all took off to create their own kingdoms. But what I've always been taught in the Bible is through the Tower of Babel story, when God leveled the tower and scrambled everybody's name. And
yeah, it's called the Founder Principle, and I think you're on fairly safe ground, although there's a lot of conjecture on this issue. But this is plausibly a way that groups are isolated because of the confusion of their languages and therefore only draw upon a fraction of the total gene pool. But you have to remember, in answering this question in general, that one must be careful about the word race. The Bible says, from one man God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And the point I think that's important to grapple with here is that we are all people. So there are differences genetically in people. We have different blueprints, so to speak, but we're all people. And this is in concert with the biblical notion that kinds reproduce after their own kind. So we're all one kind, and so we have different characteristics, but we're all people. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to John in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. My question is, I've got a couple, but one of them is the redshift in the starlight. What is your understanding of this?
Well, the basic argument is that the age of the universe is measured in billions of years due to the redshift of the galaxies, or the reddish light that marks motion away from the Earth, and the analogy would be like the audible pitch of a train shifts as it moves off into the distance. So the redshift that marks galaxies as they move apart at the speed of light allows astronomers to extrapolate backward billions of years to a point at which the stretching of space began. So that's the basic argument.
Okay, so can we say that it's kind of like the principles of sound and how it moves, it's just on a much larger scale?
Well, that's the analogy that I use, absolutely. And the redshift plus the second law of thermodynamics are independent evidences that the universe began to exist at a point that is in the past. And that's precisely what the Bible says, in the beginning God. So even though Big Bang cosmology may be proven wrong at some point, you know, I'm not suggesting it will, but I'm saying even if it would, you don't have to hitch your wagon to it. Big Bang cosmology is not at odds with the opening words in the Bible.
Okay. Would we expect, though, and I don't know if we can determine this right now because I don't think there's a real good way to measure stuff out that far out since we don't even have instruments out that far, but can we say that just like sound, things get hindered to alter the speed of sound, such as humidity, pressure, and that kind of stuff, gravity, motion, stuff like that kind of speeds up and slows down sound, depending on where you're at, what conditions you're in. Can that still happen with the redshift?
Well, I think you need to take every converging factor into consideration. But again, the overall principle is that using the speed of light, which is 186 1,000 miles per second. In a calculation, astronomers have determined that the observable universe, and by the way, universe has 100 billion galaxies, each containing 100 billion stars, that it's at least 15 billion light years in diameter, and a light year is measured. It's the distance that light will travel in a year. It's a distance measured not in billions, but trillions of miles. So,
yeah, that's why I'm asking the question, because can we say that that's our measurement as we see it here on Earth, but in another outside of our galaxy, per se, it actually moves at a much faster speed?
No, I don't think, I mean, I think that's conjecture that is not fruitful, particularly in Christian witness, because if, in fact, we start using that kind of obfuscation in our language, we are not going to be able to reach the very people that we want to reach. What we want to do is make sure that we follow truth wherever it leads. The truth of Scripture, certainly first and foremost, because it is an infallible repository. But again, when I say that, it's still determined on a person knowing how to read the Bible for all it's worth. I hear people that read the Bible come up with the most outlandish interpretations because they don't understand the art and science of biblical interpretation. Now imagine that we do that as Christians with respect to science, and we're not scientists. And we make all of these little conundrums that really don't impinge upon the main point. They just tend to cause obfuscation. I think what we do is we don't reach, we end up repelling. And let me just say one more thing and then move on. But science points to realities such as background radiation, radioactive decay, entropy, star ages. And all of these things point to a universe more than 6,000 years old. And so the multiple sets of independent empirical evidence converge, and they converge on a basic parameter with respect to age. Now, it's important to note that even if you make that age 10 to 20 billion years, it still becomes insufficient for the evolution of a protein molecule, much less a living cell. So a lot of people think that, well, this is an accommodation to evolution. It is not. Evolution cannot account for the formation of a protein molecule, much less a living cell, through their process. So it is, in my view, a paradigm that simply has run into an age of scientific enlightenment that doesn't augment it, but absolutely destroys it. And I think we ought to, as Christians, be on the verge of recognizing its demise and credibly communicating that evolution is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Donna in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Donna.
Hello. I wanted to ask you, you were talking to someone and you said that you don't find any evidence in the Bible of a secret coming of Christ. What about the thief in the night? You know, the five virgins with their lamps trimmed would go with him. The five that weren't ready would not go in with him. So this was confusing to me.
Right, but Matthew 24, particularly the end, has nothing whatsoever to do with a rapture. Matthew chapter 24 has to do with what is going on with respect to the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. And Jesus is using the language of the Old Testament prophets to prophesy that that is going to happen within a generation. So he uses the language of Isaiah, for example, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken.
Well, where do we fit this in, then, to Scripture?
Well, this has to do with the coming of Jesus Christ in judgment. That's the whole point of the passage. Remember, in the passage, Jesus is leaving the temple, and he's walking away, and his disciples are calling his attention to its buildings. And
right.
Jesus says, do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And then when he's sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples come to him privately and say, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, when they talk about his coming there, they're not talking about his second coming. They're talking about his coming in judgment on Jerusalem and the temple, which will not recognize Messiah in their midst. And then, just so that you don't miss his point, he says, even so, when you see all these things, all the things he's just delineated, then you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Well, there are some skeptics that say, well, the sun didn't fall, the stars didn't fall out of the sky, so Jesus is a false prophet. But they don't understand that the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets, and a greater prophet than them all, is using their language to describe that Jerusalem will fall. Now, no one knows the day or the hour. Christ is going to come like a thief in the night. But that is something that happened in the past and doesn't speak to a pre-tribulational rapture in the future. Be right back.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Daryl listening in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hi, Daryl.
How you doing, Hank? I appreciate your ministry. And I've been listening to your show for a while. Some things I agree with you 100%, of course. And you know, there's some things that I really haven't gotten a grasp on. But I've heard you talk about creation. I've heard you talk about dinosaurs and things like that with respect to man living on the earth at the same time. And I've got one question is, if the corruption of the world and death entered the world through the fall of man, the sin of Adam and Eve, how does the death of dinosaurs and other animals like that fit into that assumption or theory if the fall of man, you know, brought the corruption and death into the world?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And I think the false assumption that underlies the question is that Adam's sin necessarily predates the advent of all evil, except, of course, the rebellion of Satan. And therefore, people who hold to a young earth model are constrained to reject standard astronomical and geological dating, and old earthers, like progressive creationists, are compelled to reinterpret biblical passages that speak of natural evil as a direct consequence of human sin. And I think orthodoxy, and I've said this many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, demands faithfulness to truth in both general and in special revelation. So an orthodox understanding of the Creator is that He acts transtemporally. In other words, He acts across time in all of His creation. And therefore, we say, with no problem whatsoever, that the cross of Jesus Christ retroactively atones for Adam's sin just as it proactively atones for your sin. And there's little difficulty in conceiving of a transcendent God who predestines natural evil to precede the fall, even though the fall is the necessary cause of the evils that precede it. So we look at time's arrow only from a forward perspective. But I think we should recognize that God's infallible truth is not always presented in chronological fashion. So the advent of the last Adam not only atones for sins thousands of years after the advent of the first Adam, but the last Adam, Jesus, is biblically portrayed as a lamb slain before the creation of the world. So God's purposes are not always presented in chronological fashion. In other words, with time's arrow pointing forward.
Okay, well, I've heard you say that dinosaurs and the existence of them at the same time man existed, after the creation of Adam and Eve, that's not true or not possible. Is that correct?
Well, I'm saying that there's no evidence whatsoever of dinosaurs living at the same time as humanity, either in the Bible or in the book of nature. And I think we need to follow truth wherever it leads. So if there was evidence in nature that dinosaurs lived at the exact same time as human beings lived, then we should take seriously that evidence. But I like what the Institute for Creation Research has said in this regard. Now, they believe in a young earth, and they were at the forefront of giving evidence that they had these tracks of dinosaurs and human beings walking at the same time. But later, when they examined the evidence critically, they found out that it didn't hold up to scrutiny, and therefore they abandoned the pretext. I think that's exactly what we should do, and I commend them for it.
Okay, well, when the Bible talks about God, man's wisdom is foolishness to God's ears and stuff like that, I have a hard time accepting science and the measurements of science as being truthful, because I believe carbon dating in itself has been found to be false in its results in a lot of instances. And along those lines, you talk about creation and the age of the universe and everything like that. When God created Adam and Eve, He created them in a mature fashion. It was a mature man and a mature woman. Could we not also take that same assumption and apply it to the universe, that when God created the universe, He created a mature universe, one that we could look back on and say, you're talking about the light coming from stars and supernovas and things like that. Could we not look through the prism of, okay, well, we're just receiving that light from this supernova now, so it had to have been billions of years ago that it was actually created. Could we not say, well, no, it possibly could have been created 10,000 years ago, but in the present form that God created it?
Well, you could say that, and I've certainly conceded that, but that's a pretty big stretch, because basically what you're saying is that the supernova that you're describing, or the exploding star that you're describing, is a documentary film of an event that never really happened by way of analogy. And I think that's a really bad thing to do, particularly in light of what the Bible says. And I think we always want to go back to the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. The Bible talks about men who suppress the truth in wickedness, because what might be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature, clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Now, let's imagine that now we're reinterpreting the Bible and saying, well, that's really not what the Bible means. The people who are suppressing the truth in wickedness really couldn't have known at all, because what is seen is really a mirage. You can't really believe what you see. I don't think we want to tamper with the biblical text in that way. But here's the point that I think is so important to recognize. God's purposes are presented in both chronological as well as chirological fashion in the Word of God. So we see events reported in the order in which they appeared, and we see events recorded according to their purpose and significance. So I think what's important is not to ask the biblical text to answer questions it's not designed to answer. And all too often that's done, particularly in the book of Genesis. In fact, think about what Darwin wrote when he said he couldn't persuade himself that a beneficent, omnipotent God would have designedly created parasitic wasps with the express intention of their feeding within the living bodies of caterpillars. And that was a pretty significant issue to Darwin, because it ultimately led him to dispense with the notion of God as creator. Now, far from dispensing with God, what he should have done is contemplate the full consequence of alienation from God. The problem with Darwin was that he could only conceive of time as linear, kind of a problem that some Christians have today. If he had comprehended a God unbounded by time, his evolutionary hypothesis may never have taken root. Surely God could cause the effects of the fall to temporarily precede the cause. Just as death and resurrection of Christ is responsible for the salvation of repentant people throughout time, the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden is responsible for every natural evil throughout time. So there's no doubting that whatsoever. So we're not doubting the Bible, but the problem is we so often can't see a God that acts transtemporally across time. And I think that's a very important concept to get a hold of. Again, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. And the one thing we can be absolutely certain of, and that is the evolutionary paradigm is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. We can dispense with it. It is absolutely in contradiction to all the facts. The fossil record says no. Ape men, fiction, fantasies, and frauds militate against the evolutionary hypothesis. Chance has no chance of forming a protein molecule, much less a living cell. The basic laws of science are set in opposition to the evolutionary hypothesis. And so we need to be on the vanguard of being able to demonstrate that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, but also on the vanguard of reading the Bible for all its worth, mining the Bible for all its wealth, but doing the same with the book of nature. And I think, again, we need to be cognizant of the fact that the wickedness of men suppresses truth. Because what could be known about God is plain to them because God made it plain to them through what has been made. We can't give them the cop-out of saying that what has been made really doesn't tell you the truth, that actually there's a mirage going on here, and therefore you can't look for God's eternal power, for his invisible qualities, his divine nature, which can be seen and understood through what has been made. And by the way, when you look at the universe, you know immediately that there's a God. The sun, the moon, and the stars didn't just happen. It takes faith more than the faith of an evolutionist to believe that. Look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.